The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Let's go straight out to that truckers' protest. News Talk's Josh Crosby has been making his way back towards the radio station in a very slow fashion by the sounds of it. Josh, chaos from what we've heard.
Yes, Jonathan, slow is right. I'm on the N7 now, just by the City West area, coming up to Newlands Cross, and it's crawling. It's chocker block, like the M50 at rush hour in the evening. I'm currently doing 15 kilometres. I'm on the hands-free as I'm speaking to you now, but I arrived at one of the meeting points just outside Nace this morning, coming on to 6 a.m, and there was only 40 or 50 trucks or tractors there when I arrived, but as the morning went on, more and more joined, and by the end, when they were leaving at 7, there was easily more than 80 of them pulling out, and Gardaí had to block off the roundabout so they could access the roads. Now, as I said, they're making their way from all different entry points into Dublin. They're coming down from the M1, entering the Port Tunnel, coming up from the Wicklow side, touching off the M50. And this convoy that I'm a part of now, I'm following, is going to be flying over into the city. There's trucks ahead of me. There's tractors behind me. Gardaí said last night that they would have an appropriate plan to monitor the protest. And I saw some of that enforcement in action just a couple of kilometres back. One unmarked Garda car went in the inside lane ahead of six or seven tractors, another Garda car behind the tractors, both of them out with the blue lights, and brought all them tractors over to the side of the road. Now, I saw the guard get out of the car in front, and he did not look happy. He was going back to them. I don't know what he was saying, but it must be to do with this disruption that's being caused. And it is disruption. The people are going to be late for work this morning. People were raising concerns last night that people may be missing health appointments such as booster vaccines and whatnot. But as you heard in that clip that you played at the start of the show, these guys say this is their only way to get noticed, that they're being crippled with fuel prices and they're losing hundreds of euro every month. So, as I said, I'm on my way, making my way to Leinster House with the trucks in front of me, and they intend to stick it out. I asked them, how long are you staying for? Are you going to ride it out for the night? And they said, as long as they need to. They have their flasks and they're prepared to come back in a few weeks again.
Okay, well, we'll keep a close eye on that protest as it goes on, Josh. Lots of people are probably agreeing with the sentiment, but at the same time disagreeing with the methodology. It's the second protest, actually, in Dublin in the last couple of days, because the farmers were in their tractors outside government buildings on Sunday, making their feelings felt. Charlie McConlogue is the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine. He's the Fianna Fáil TD for Donegal, and he's on the line now. Charlie McConlogue, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
First of all, it's the second protest. You'll understand why the truckers are out today, and I'm presuming you understand why the farmers felt so aggrieved on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I think in relation to the truckers issue, obviously we have a bit of a perfect storm for truckers in that we have real challenges in relation to fuel inflation over the course of the last number of months, and also particular challenges in relation to access to labour. Both of those issues, which are not particular to Ireland, we have seen obviously across Europe, real challenges, and across the world in relation to fuel inflation, and it hasn't just been impacting on haulage, it's impacted in all sectors of society, but also then in relation to labour, particular challenges coming out of Brexit, and that's something the government very recognises. I know the Minister, Hildegard Nocton, has been engaged with the sector and the industry, and also in relation to developing a strategy. For which will be the first 10-year strategy for the haulage sector, and the Minister is engaged with the sector around that. Also, there are some measures in place which can support the haulage sector in particular. So, for example, the diesel rebate scheme that's in place, which can pay up to 7.5 cents per litre of a rebate.
But recognition this is outside to the haulage sector. Of government's control, though. This is the problem. It's going to keep going up because there is international pressures. Of the things the government can do, this is not really one that they can solve. And we are probably going to see more hauliers and indeed farmers and indeed drivers come under pressure. You can't do anything about this particular one.
That's true, Jonathan. Listen, these are international pressures which are not just particular to the country. But what I was outlining there was some, the understanding there is of that at national level, and some of the measures that we have in place to try and support the sector, and also the fact that we are putting together a strategy with the sector in terms of how it can develop over the years ahead. But there's no doubt, and it's not particular to hauliers, though I do think it obviously it's much bigger part of the cost base for hauliers, the fact, fuel and energy costs. So it's impacting on them more so. But it is impacting across society, and it's something something the government very much understands and will continue to engage with the sector.
Let's talk about farming,
to listen to them in relation to the pressure it's putting on them as well.
It's your area of expertise. Farmers are unhappy. I've been speaking with many of them. I live in a rural community, so I get to speak with farmers, and they feel as if they're being victimized. They feel as if they are being scapegoated. They were told, increase your herd. They are being consistently told the product that they're producing is amongst the best on the planet and will remain to be so. But at the same time, they're being told they're damaging the environment. It's their fault. They're the largest polluter. You can understand why they're upset.
Listen, the narrative, Jonathan, is all wrong in relation to agriculture and food and its relationship with emissions and its sustainability credentials. And that's something that I have pushed back on at every opportunity and tried to set the record straight on. Because the reality isn't okay as a starting point. Agriculture emissions is a higher proportion of our national emissions in Ireland than it is in other countries. And that's because, firstly, we don't have the industrial base that other countries have. And also because agriculture is much stronger in terms of us being a nation that is ideal for food production. But the other point alongside that is this, and that is that as a food producing nation, we are one of the most sustainable food producers in the world. Unlike many other countries, we're grass based in terms of a production system. And as a result of that, the way we produce both meat proteins and milk proteins is very, very efficient. In fact, if you look across Europe, we're the most efficient producer of milk from a sustainability and emissions point of view of any other country at European level.
Charlie McConnell, the farmers agree. We're great. We're really good at what we're doing. But they want to know, what are we doing next? What do we have to do to try and get on side with climate change?
So, well, like every other sector of society, what we have to do is do the best we can to continue to reduce and lower our emissions and become even more sustainable. The starting point for agriculture in terms of the fact that it is very sustainable to start with is recognized very much in the emissions targets that have been given, that 22 to 30% range between now and 2030. Is set at a level which is proportionate for agriculture to be able to deliver upon. It will be ambitious for the sector. It will require systems change and a change in terms of farming practices. But really importantly, it will involve us continuing to do what we do really well, which is produce the food, milk and meats.
Charlie, if you forgive me, I need to just try and get to the core of this, because that to me, in my mind, translates to fewer cows. Am I wrong?
You are wrong, yes.
Tell me how I'm wrong. How are we going to get to that point by 2030 with the same number of cows that we have right now? Because the argument consistently coming from farmers is that the herd has to be reduced.
No, and I want to be absolutely crystal clear in that. We are not seeking to reduce the herd size, nor are we seeking to reduce the amount of food that Irish farmers and our food industry produces either. In all my time as minister, in over a year now, not once has someone come to me and said that we should reduce the food that we produce. But I think everyone can agree that we want to reduce the emissions of how we produce that food. Now, I published a number of months ago an iClimatize roadmap, which laid out various measures which agriculture is already taking and will be taking in the years ahead. That will be updated now as well to reflect the increased target that we, our sector, has got in the Climate Action Plan, like every other sector in society has. But there are real measures which we can take which will reduce our emissions footprint while continuing to produce that food. And importantly as well, Jonathan,
outline what they are, Charlie McConnell.
So listen, first of all, 30% of our emissions coming out of agriculture is nitrous oxide based, which is how we use fertilizer, both chemical and organic. And many of the measures we put in place, for example, is focusing on reducing the need for chemical fertilizer through increased focus on soil fertility, through introducing clover swards and multi-species swards to grow grass instead, which actually fixes a lot of nitrogen naturally into the soil and reduces the need for chemical nitrogen as a result. Also then, in relation to how we use organic fertilizer, which is slurry, there is tremendous efficiencies that can be made in terms of how that is used. The adoption of low emissions slurry spreading equipment, which we've seen significant progress on in the last two, three years.
Very expensive, and that's what puts farmers off using it, because they have to buy a very expensive thing that goes on the back of the tractor. I mean, it costs tens of thousands of euro.
It is expensive, but I have grants in place here through the department, which We've seen €100 million spent on it over the last 2-3 years. It is something farmers have embraced. So there's grants available of between 40 and 60% specifically for that equipment. And it is something farmers are embracing. And also the evidence, and Chuggas very clearly shows this, the cost-benefit analysis shows that actually farmers will save money by using this practice because of the better efficiency use of the organic fertilizer. So it's a win-win measure, but it does require upfront investment, which farmers are investing in, and we will see significant progress in that over the next period of time. So then that will make significant improvement in relation to our nitrous oxide emissions. Then about 65% of our emissions from agriculture are methane-based, which is to do with livestock. So again, there are steps that we can take there which will help to reduce that. So, for example, reducing the average slaughter age for animals will reduce the overall methane. And also then I'm investing significantly through Chugusk, for example, in relation to emerging methods as to how we can actually reduce methane from animals over the time ahead. So, for example, seeing already products, feed additive products coming through the regulatory process at European level, which being fed as supplements to animals actually reduces the methane output. And it is the methane we want to reduce here,
I understand that. But so what you're telling me, Charlie McConnell, is that science is the way out of this, that they don't need to reduce their herd size, that they'll still be able to produce the quality that they're producing now. Then why is it that so many farmers, and cap reform, which is always hanging in the background in agriculture, is a factor here. Why is it that so many farmers don't see a future, that they don't see their sons or daughters coming up behind them, taking over the family farm because the viability is gone? Why is there a lack of trust in what you are saying is the way out of this?
Well, there has been much concern, and it is a time of change, Jonathan. So at the moment, we are putting together a new CAP plan, which will see us take us from now up to the end of 2027. And obviously, we've had a lot of engagement and discussion over the last number of weeks and months, and indeed a public narrative in relation to what the climate change targets would mean for Irish agriculture. So that has led to concern, undoubtedly. But that's why over the last 2 months, I have travelled the country. I have visited each county in Ireland and held a public meeting with farmers in each one of those counties, so that every farmer has had the opportunity to engage with me directly, put their questions, ideas, suggestions, worries to me face to face as part of those public meetings, and to influence then as well, importantly, how we put together our CAP strategic plan coming out of that process. And the reason I've done that is to ensure that farmers are very much central to the plan as to how we go forward, but also to reassure farmers on the fact that the government have their back in this regard, that the government very much recognises the tremendous platform and industry we have across the country, which particularly drives rural Ireland in terms of food production. Okay. That we also recognise that what we have is one of the most sustainable food production models in the world. And that's why we have the tremendous markets we have internationally. Okay. But we're going to back farmers and back Irish agriculture to become even more sustainable in the time ahead, to continue to produce that food, really importantly, but really importantly as well, to continue to produce a food that is desired and preferred by consumers domestically and internationally, and adding value to that produce. And
all right, okay.
Importantly,
improving farm
incomes in the process. And that's why I believe the next decade will be a strong one for Irish agriculture. There obviously is anxieties and concerns at the moment, but it is going to strengthen as the decade progresses because it is such a sustainable food producing model that we have.
We'll see how farmers buy into that, Charlie McConnell, because the concern is there. You've outlined what your plan is. We'll see if farmers agree with you over time. Two things I want to touch on before I let you go. Regina Doherty on News Talk yesterday said the messaging from public health officials around antigen testing has been insulting and paternalistic. Do you agree?
Well, listen, I think public health have had views on antigen testing while restrictions were in place, that they felt that it wasn't appropriate at that time to introduce it as a tool because it was a double-edged sword in relation to the impact it could have. They've been much clearer in recent times, now that society has opened up, of the value of antigen testing as a tool. It is therefore being adopted now in terms of close contact tracing. It's also been adopted in terms of more widespread use in the community. I was one of the very first to introduce antigen testing in terms of putting in place a platform for that, for it to be used earlier this year in meat factories, because working with officials in the department here and public health officials as well, we were able to identify how it could clearly be useful in the meat
processing sector.
We were
told there was going to be subsidised antigen testing, was going to be brought before Cabinet. He didn't even discuss COVID at Cabinet yesterday, by the sounds of it. When are we going to see those subsidised antigen tests so that we can roll them out more freely?
Well, firstly, I mean, it is being rolled out for contact tracing, and in terms of being posted to people, for them to be able to do their contact tracing and their use antigen tests to as part of that process. That's already in place. But the additional step that's been taken is actual subsidized antigen testing. And there has been massive work going on to actually put that process in place. And it is expected that that will be clarified over the next week. But let's be clear, Jonathan.
Why wasn't it ready for Cabinet yesterday?
Well, let's be clear. Lots of things have already been put in place in relation to it. Antigen testing is being used at the moment in relation to close contact tracing. It's also being introduced from the 29th of November in schools. And alongside that, to further assist that, we are introducing subsidised antigen testing. And the public health advice is undoubtedly involved to respond to the evolving situation with regard to COVID over the last period of time as well, whereby now it clearly has been introduced. But I think everyone is very clear that the public health advice had much more
Can you understand how the public is confused, Charlie McConlogh? So what you're saying right now, and the minister tweeted this, if you have symptoms, don't you dare take an antigen test. Get it out of your hand, put it down, and go to the website to get an appointment for a PCR. And I went on just before we started the programme, you cannot get an appointment for a PCR test this morning in most counties in Ireland. I found a couple in Kerry. There was 24 appointments available tomorrow in Kerry, which is the closest county to me in Cork. Why are you telling people, don't take an antigen test, don't you dare do it, wait for a PCR and you can't book a PCR? Surely there is a disconnect there.
Well, no, there isn't a disconnect because public health have been very clear throughout that if you have symptoms, you should get a PCR test.
But you can't get a PCR test.
There obviously is challenges in relation to the level of the requirement that is there at the moment, and that the scaling up of that is happening further to respond to that demand. Obviously, it has scaled up very significantly in terms of the need for PCR testing over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks because of how this wave has taken off again, and the HSE have been responding to that as quickly as they possibly can to scale up significantly. But to be clear, in relation to the antigen testing, the public health advice is and always has been that if somebody is asymptomatic, they should seek a PCR test and not use the antigen test in that instance.
Yeah, but they're saying don't use an antigen test. Why shouldn't you use an antigen test if you're symptomatic, even if you're going to get a PCR later?
Because the public health advice is very, very clear in this and always has been, Jonathan, that where somebody is symptomatic, they should actually get a PCR test. And their concern, in fact, is that people would be using an antigen test when they're symptomatic, which is not when they should be using it. So,
my point is about you can't get a PCR test. But you know what? Ronan Glynn, the deputy CMO, is coming on afterwards, and he is public health, so it's probably better to speak to him on that. Last
absolutely
one, Charlie McConlogh, speaking of things that don't come before Cabinet, the micro-redress scheme, any idea of when that's going to be signed off or when the people in Donegal, your constituency, will find out what supports are going to be there for them to rebuild their homes and move on with their lives?
Yeah, I expect it to happen very soon. I think it's important not to be putting specific dates on it because it only adds to the anxiety. But I want to ensure, or if the dates aren't specifically met,
that it's dragging on, but
I want to assure everyone, Jonathan, on this, that the work is massive. Work has gone into this. It's ongoing on a daily basis. Everyone is working to try and ensure that the scheme is delivered as soon as possible. I expect that to happen very, very soon. But the key thing that we're all very clear on within government is the fact that we need to deliver a scheme that is fit for purpose and is the right scheme. And that's what everyone's focus is. Absolutely, absolutely. And I expect it to happen as sooner than that. But the key objective we're all working to ensure is that it's a comprehensive scheme and that it deals properly with the issue, because this is something is obviously going to have to serve homeowners for many, many years to come. So it's important that the right amount of time is taken out to get it right. But we are working to deliver it as quickly as possible.
Charlie McConlogh, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, thank you very much for joining us.